18th to the 21st. One of Movie Maker Magazine's top 50 film festivals worth the entry fee, the Female Eye Film Festival programs 4 days of summer thrills at TIFF Lightbox with special opening day screenings at the Paradise Theater. Beat the heat while enjoying award-winning films from North America and around the world. All the films are directed by women. Go to thefemaleeyefilmfestival.com for a chance to win passes and more.
From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
This is, of course, CIUT 89.5 FM. Another afternoon here at Phil's Inn, and as we've been talking all afternoon, we're serving this massive 36-course dinner here at the Inn. All the chefs and cooks in town have gotten together and are providing this dinner for the town folk. And Leslie Ann Cole has popped in. Leslie Ann Cole says, you're the founder of the Female Eye Film Festival. N'est-ce pas?
Oui.
Oh. That's all the French I know. So we've exhausted my bilingual capabilities.
Yeah, un petit peu.
Yeah. Je ne parle pas français.
Yeah, oui.
Yeah, just je suis moins d'anglais. So... what exactly is your title?
My founder? Yeah. I'm the founder and I'm the artist, like executive artistic director. So that's my title.
Okay. Okay. But you are the founder. And when did you start this?
2001.
Mm-hmm. So this is the 22nd annual Female Eye Film Festival.
Correct. It is actually the 23rd year, but in the 2004 we did mentoring and outreach and launched International Women's Day program and December 6th program. So we didn't actually run the festival proper in 2004. Mm-hmm. So it's our 23rd year, but it is our 22nd edition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And last year we talked, and I saw a number of films, and I was just so... deeply impressed. And what I was impressed by mostly, we'll talk about some other aspects, but what I was really impressed by was the range of genre, the range of forms, and the range of origins that you presented last year. I'm assuming everything's the same this year?
Yeah, we have a really eclectic program of shorts, features, documentaries, experimental animation, our late night thrills and chills program, which is forever growing, and the films are from around the world. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And we have 60 filmmakers out of 75 actually attending the festival this year. So
wonderful.
Yeah, and 10 screenwriters. So it's really exciting. Yeah.
And it starts on the 18th, runs to the 22nd or the 21st?
21st, Sunday.
The 21st. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be both at the Paradise Theater on College Street and this is a... This
TIFF.
Is, yeah, and TIFF at the Lightbox Theater.
Yeah, yeah. Well, TIFF Lightbox now. No more Bell, but TIFF Lightbox. So we're actually at the Paradise on Bloor, that beautiful...
Oh, it's on Bloor. I keep thinking of the Royal on College.
No,
I don't know why.
It's that beautiful Paradise Cinema around Lansdowne. Mm-hmm. It's 11006C Bloor Street West, and it is this stunning repertoire theater, very Art Deco. Beautiful, beautiful. So the festival's there for the full day and evening on opening day, which is Thursday, July 18th. And then in the evening on the 18th, we move to TIFF Lightbox with a gala feature there, and we're there throughout the weekend.
Nice. And as I said, it's all over the place. You were nice enough to send me some screeners, so I've seen some, like, 5 or 6 shorts, and I was... amazed at the range of it. There's one called The Moth.
Yeah.
That is clay on glass animation. I've never seen that before. What is that? Do you know what that is?
I'm a filmmaker and I don't even know what that is. It's just very clever. What we're seeing a lot now, especially with the advent of digital and VR and I guess AI as well, but not so much. We're not so much into the AI landscape yet, and that'll be tricky to navigate. But
no kidding.
You know, the integration of animation and whether it's claymation or whatever it is, because that butterfly, right? You're speaking about the butterflies. They're incredible. The moth. Sorry. It was very clever execution in that film. It's really about grief, isn't it? It's beautiful.
It's odd because I only saw like a short five or six films, but three of them had their subject matter was old age and aging, including a vampire.
Yeah.
Including an elderly vampire who preys on the ones close to kicking the bucket at the retirement home she's sent to.
Olga's Eyes.
I love this film. It's so hilarious.
It's great spin on a classic genre, a classic theme and genre, which is the vampire, right? Vampire empire, and it's about an aging. It's about an aging vampire
whose daughter puts her in a retirement home because she's eaten all the neighbors and she has to leave.
Yeah, she has to leave the party. She doesn't belong in the community anymore. Yeah, it's really great. They're all so clever. And, you know, we find that with women directors, writers, they tend to deal with, you know, they put a new spin on sometimes old themes. Mm-hmm. And that's that's an excellent example of that, actually.
Yeah, and it's from Belgium?
Yes.
Just wonderful. It's marvelous also to see old people on a screen.
I know. Isn't it great?
We don't really see them unless they become the subject of it, and then it's usually the butt of a joke.
Yes, exactly. Isn't it great?
Yes,
I remember in the first few years of The Female Eye back in 2001, you know, we were still getting films sent to us on VHS.
Okay.
I remember seeing wizened old faces on the screen of Tibetan women or women over the age of 40 in romantic situations.
No kidding.
And it was just something we didn't see in the mainstream cinema. So it's never left. It's always there.
I know. And I think that's what makes this film festival so unique is that it's not feminist, it's feminine.
Yes,
you know, like
I love
it's about the feminine perspective, and even Olga's Eyes, which starts off as this kind of funny vampire movie, becomes about a woman who has passion.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's for blood.
But she's passionate, nonetheless.
And then it turns into this kind of charming love story. It's wonderful, and I think that's a very feminine way of telling a story to start here and then to bring in all these other things. It was wonderful.
Yeah, great.
I'm always interested in how, because I remember years ago I went to a couple animation festivals and I interviewed all these animators, and they're a very strange breed of people.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're insular, they work by themselves. They work for 3 or 4 years on something that nobody ever gets to see, for the most part. So they're fascinating. But I find that young filmmakers and young independent filmmakers are of that same sort of breed in a way. Like, where does the funding come from to supply this passion and desire that they have?
Well,
for them.
Well, I would say that, you know, the young and the emerging, like the debut filmmakers, they're fortunate because they have access to tech and equipment and studios and great state-of-the-art animation studios and access to VR studios through the colleges in which they study. Once they graduate, however, they are also fortunate in a way. Once they've made a film, they can actually people can apply in Canada to the Ontario Arts Council and the Canada Council for the Arts and regional arts councils in different provinces across the country, because we have this wonderful system here in Canada where we take money from all the taxpayers and then we put it into making film and the arts and books. And Ontario Creates, one of our funders, is exemplary in that they help publish books, they get books made, they fund music production, specifically Ontario-based artists. And then we have Telefilm Canada, you know, Canada Council for the Arts, the CMF.
That's right.
It is competitive, I will say. There are a lot of people going to the trough But largely that's how we make films independently in Canada.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does separate the wheat from the chaff at the
it
same
does.
Time, right?
Yes, for sure.
So the cream rises to the top.
Mm-hmm.
It must be quite a slog. How many, what would be the percentage of films that you've curated for this year's festival are kind of resume films? You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness. Well, for sure, Katie's Mom. The opening gala, the closing gala, is Shelbourne from the UK. It's a tour de force.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
a magnificent period drama.
Incredible.
The actress wrote it, directed it, produced it.
Yeah.
It's an incredible feat for a debut. I mean, and it's stunning, absolutely stunning. You know, the documentary programs with Certainty, three extra amazing women. I kind of cherry picked that one from another festival that I attended in New York. And they had actually submitted, so I didn't actually cherry pick it. But it's a great documentary about three women in Kilimanjaro in relation to their lives. And it's an incredible feat.
Three very different women.
And it also incorporates animation to tell their backstory, their childhood story, which informs them as adults and actually makes them who they are and who they're not. So it's a really, I just thought that was such an empowering film. I was so inspired by that documentary. I mean, I curate all the all the programs. I kind of curate and put them together, with exception to, and I have to give a shout out to Marissa Lloyd. She single-handedly curated the Late Night Thrills and Chills programs this year. She started with us as an intern from Humber, and she's just quite an astute programmer, and she's a cinephile, and she's incredible. So she actually curated the Late Night Thrills and Chills programs, and then there's C.J. Carter, K.J. Carter, who helps me with looking at the documentary landscape and those films from an international perspective. So there's a whole bunch of us. You know, we have seasoned programmers, and then we have a lot of interns who are looking to put in hours towards a graduation, but they want to become filmmakers, so I put them to watching film.
So they can breathe the same air.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's perfect. So you curate all the shorts except for the what's it called? Late Night Thrills and Chills?
Yeah, and then she curated the Saturday night. There's a short and a feature. So the thing about The Female Eye, if some of you might remember, when you went to see the movie, you would see a short film before the feature presentation at drive-ins and in the theater. Well, I've always programmed the old-fashioned way. That's sort of our trademark at The Female Eye. You will always see a short or two shorts. It could be an animation, experimental, or short drama, or a comedy, but it's going to play before the feature presentation. Mm-hmm. And we do that with the Late Night Thrills and Chills feature on Saturday night as well. It's Leaving Yellowstone, followed by Insomnium, which is quite a remarkable hybrid sci-fi horror.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's great.
That's where Olga's Eyes.
That's Friday night.
But as well, there's a film called... It's Grand or... Anyways, it's...
Just Grand.
Yeah. Because the title's changed over...
Yeah.
A number of times.
That happens.
By our own very own Christian Hamilton, who, of course, is the host and curator of Dementia 13. Mm-hmm. And it's a really nifty little film.
It is.
It's quite eerie.
Yes. She's got good chops.
Well, she's an example. She's been working on this for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I said, I got confused at the title because the title's changed a number of times over the last little while. So she's a prime example of that artist who wants to make films, who has the passion and the dedication to make a film, and just keeps doing it.
It's
so nice. I mean, she's won awards at other festivals. It's so nice that she's at this festival.
Yeah.
It's going to be quite exciting.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I'm a big fan of her work. And I like a lot of independent filmmakers, you know, some play in different areas. Many, many do. You know, whether they're a photographer and a filmmaker or, you know, she's a DJ and a huge music buff and a collector of rare music. And that always is integrated into her film stylistically.
Oh, yes.
It's an integral part of her film, actually, music.
Yes.
And so it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful to see her expressing herself in cinema. She's quite a notable filmmaker in her own right.
Yeah. And going upwards.
And she's a perfect example of someone, when you were asking, well, how do they do it? How do they do it? Well, she's a perfect example of how you do it.
Yeah.
She pulls a crew together. She self-finances her own productions.
Yeah.
She gives a lot, and she gets favors from other people in the industry because she's so contributing to other people's work as well.
Yeah. And her film is very also emblematic of what we were talking about earlier, of the idea of the female perspective in film, because it's very atmospheric, right? But it could be gratuitous. And that's what I've noticed, is that female directors tend not to be gratuitous. There's not a lot of violence. Even even Olga's eyes, she's got blood dripping down the side of her mouth, but that's about as far as it gets. And there's this really wonderful shot of her daughter sends her plasma bags in the mail, and there's this wonderful shot of her drinking out of a plasma bag with a straw.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. But my point was that there's a difference. You know, that there is a difference. And is that why you started the festival in 2001?
Yeah, because I was noting that while I was attending film festivals with my debut film, there weren't a lot of women directors. And the women and the films that I was seeing, directed by women, offered a different lens. They were through the female lens or the female perspective. And what I noted is exactly what you just said, is that there... nothing is gratuitous when it comes to sex and violence. It's sometimes actually what you don't see, which is more disconcerting or compelling.
Certainly more cinematic. I mean,
definitely more cinematic.
That's what Hitchcock would have said.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But that's kind of what inspired me. I wondered if women weren't making films or if their films weren't getting programmed. And back then, their films weren't getting programmed. I think if a woman wrote and directed a film, it was relegated to the chick flick category.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was kind of like, oh, that's going to be a light, fluffy rom-com. Well, come to the late night thrills and chills and you'll see anything but light and fluffy.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the other films as well, the coming of age films, On the Fringe deals with mental health. There's a series of short films that deal with, oh, Discordia is one. It's outstanding. Oh, my gosh. I can't even think of all the films
there's
program.
There's one that really moved me called Age of Consent.
Yeah.
That just,
oh yeah,
that floored me.
A local filmmaker, and Margaret Lemaire is in it. Anyone who knows her, she plays a woman who's with dementia. And it's an incredible film, especially, I mean, I don't want, spoiler alert, when she tells her children something that's happened to her and that she was hurt by this person and they don't believe her.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of, it really took me aback, that film.
I know, it's really, really powerful. Like here, I thought, well, the title, oh, Age of Consent, this...
Yeah, right.
This will be a coming-of-age film.
Yeah, you know? No, anything but. You know, they're really great films. And then the feature in that On the Fringe program, which I curated as well, is ends with a film called Just Hear Me Out. And it's a very up-close, candid short documentary about a young girl from Poland with schizophrenia and how it impacts her life. And she's very candid about her journey in and out of institutions, the impact on her family. It is like the inside, like a real inside look at someone with debilitating mental health disorder. And it's so, it can't make you not empathetic and compassionate. Yeah.
But they're not somber.
No.
And dreary.
No.
Another example of how, you know, the female eye is different, and we talked a little bit about how it starts somewhere and goes somewhere else, right? Is a short little film called Sally Get the Potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Which starts off as you think, oh, it's like Eloise.
Because
it's this young girl who has these long, long...
Red hair
and pigtails. Not pigtails, but... not braids, but whatever, pigtails, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's not where it goes.
No.
But it's wonderful.
It's got a great, great twist, a great reveal.
That's right. And the little girl is just just marvelous.
Yeah, it that is incredible. I know it takes you down a path. And that's the other thing you'll find, that a lot of the films, they have a twist. There's a twist. And it takes you someplace. And it's not incongruent with the story that's being told from beginning to end.
No.
It just... adds a whole other level of complexity and dynamics to the story.
Yeah, that's right. And then afterwards you go, yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
You know, of course, that twist was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So Thursday the 18th, mm-hmm. running all the way to the 21st, mm-hmm. Features, documentaries. You also have script writing workshops.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that's kind of new this year to the festival?
Well, there's the script readings, which are a longstanding staple of the Female Eyes. So it's free and open to the public. So anyone who, you know, is really interested in the craft of screenwriting, it's at the Annex Hotel. You can just pop in. You can go to the website and look under industry initiatives, and the script reading program is right there. It's on 18th and 19th. And the really exciting thing is we're bringing the Writers Lab New York to Canada in December for an in-person four-day intensive.
Wow.
That Writers Lab is supported by Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman. And we are producing the Writers Lab Canada in December here. But during the film festival, there's going to be a masterclass, screenwriters masterclass on Sunday for 2 hours led by the Writers Lab New York. It is a ticketed event, but it's like $20 for 2 hours. I mean, you can't get that anywhere. And then we're paying tribute to the founders and executive directors of the Writers Lab New York as part of a Maverick tribute on Saturday at 4 p.m. They're going to talk about the origin of the Writers Lab, their relationship with Kidman and Streep, and their relationship to the Writers Lab. Yeah, so that'll be really, that'll be interesting.
So all this stuff will be on the website, or is on the website right now. The program's up there. And links to little synopses of the films, you know, a lot of the shorts in particular. Tickets are available where?
Tickets are available at TIFF. You just go to our website, check out a program, click on Buy Now. It'll take you to Ticketmaster through TIFF. Anyway, once you pay for your ticket, you will get it emailed to you directly.
Okay.
The tickets are emailed to you directly through the TIFF box office. So you just show up on the day for the screening, you show them your digital ticket, and you're in the door. The Paradise, you can just show up, or you can buy a ticket in advance on Eventbrite. They're $15.
I was just going to say, let's render on to Caesar. $15 a ticket.
Yeah.
You have packages?
Yeah, we have a flex pack
for
TIFF, not for the Paradise, but a flex pack, and it's 5 programs for, I think, $80. So you can go to any number of programs. They could be industry initiatives like the Maverick Tribute.
Or
film programs. You could buy one pack and then invite a friend to go with you to one film program, but you have five tickets for
$80. That's a nice deal.
It's pretty good.
That's a nice deal.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. This has always been enjoyable. I'm looking forward to it. Anything that you would, I know you
have a media pass. You get to come and go as you like.
Goodness gracious. Heady. I don't know if I can, oof.
You know.
What was I going to say? Even though you're, you know, the curator, et cetera, anything would you recommend? Like, what is the one thing that you think is going to be the shining moment in the festival this year?
Oh, gosh. You know, I have to say, I am in love with the opening feature, Katie's Mom. It kind of puts a fresh spin on The Graduate.
Okay.
I love it. Some people might not like it because of that element, but it's wonderful. And Dina Mayer, the lead actress in it, is unbelievable. I mean, she should be winning an Academy Award for this role. And the on-screen chemistry between her and the love interest is fabulous. And the closing feature, Shelbourne, by Carolyn Corey, is absolutely outstanding.
No, I will attest to that. I've seen it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Truly incredible. Has an authenticity to it, has an emotion to it. It's a strong narrative. It
speaks to a time.
Great film. Very, very. And you said this is a debut film.
Yeah.
Wow, my goodness.
I know. She wrote it, directed, produced it.
Wow.
Like everything. Like
Young Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming down.
Thanks
it's
for
having
me.
It's always been fun.
Always fun.
Yes, it always is.
Always honest, not always pretty.
Sounds like me. This is early Maria Muldaur and a Memphis Mini song here on CIUT 89.5 FM, Sound of Your City, blah, 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 blah.